this ecosystem is, or ecosystem, is really exploding. So yeah, you could set it for 10 years and it'll do it, as long as the light bulb doesn't burn out.
Yes, I'm familiar with the Amazon Alexa. I've got one in my kitchen. I've actually built one out of a Raspberry Pi. That's an interesting gadget, which is both a Google, was it a Google Home and a Amazon Alexa? So that's also interesting. Okay, what is the name of the program beside Alexa? I'm very familiar with the Alexa software. What is the other piece of software? Does it have a name?
Well, unfortunately, so many companies are coming out with their own smart bulbs and smart switches. There are a bunch of them. One is called Kasa, K-A-S-A. You need that if you buy a TP-Link smart plug or smart bulb. And then the one that I control the color with is called, I'll tell you in a second, it's called Plus Minus. See, that's the one I didn't know that I needed to download on my phone, is this app called Plus Minus. So it almost seems like not every bowl, every combination has its own app, but a lot of them do. So they tell you what, before you buy it, which app you need to download to control the lights. Most of them work with Alexa alone, but not if you want to do the fancy stuff, like dim lights and turn them on and turn them off. That's controlled by a second app. Go ahead.
KD2VDW.
Okay, very good. I will look into Kasa and Plus Minus and see if they suit my needs and find out what I can do. Because as I say, I'm losing faith in the folks at Insteon.
Ken, I have a possible solution, but Mike KD2VDW wanted to talk. So what do you want to tell us, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that with Alexa, you can create a routine and a schedule, and it can work on your phone to know when you're home and when you're not home. So Alexa's a little bit more flexible than just commands.
2SCP.
QSTP.
Hey, Roy, thanks. It's Chris, K2STP. Ken, something you should take a look at is Home Control Assistant. It's, if you go to the website, it's HCA, Hotel Charlie Alpha Tech, ECH.com. They have a free trial. You can download and play with it. It does everything and talks to all protocols and does everything, and I mean everything, that you would possibly want. It'll run it for 10 years, adjust for a season. It does everything. It'll take a look at it. You'll love it.
Okay, what was the website? I missed that.
Yep, a product is called Home Control Assistant, and the website is hcatech.com. So it's Hotel Charlie Alpha Tech.com.
Okay, I will take a look and see what it will do. Thank you.
Okay, thanks to everyone who participated. But getting back to the basic subject, Ken, I would think that all things being equal, you would prefer to keep all of your Insteon devices, because I assume the switches themselves are working fine and you don't particularly want to swap them all out for a completely different technology. Is that possibly what's going on?
that is correct. If I've got something that will control the Insteon without having to swap out the switches, that would be great.
Okay, well, I think I have a product for you. I use it myself. I, too, am an Insteon guy. I started with X10. X10 has a lot of problems. As you mentioned, it is a pure wired control device. It has no RF, so you have to bridge your two circuits in order for them to hear each other. And also, it's much more sensitive to static, and distances have an effect as well. So, you know, it was great for the 70s, but not much better than the 70s. So I went to Insteon. There are other technologies for those listening. There is Z-Wave. There is Zigbee. They're all wireless protocols with their pluses and minuses. But getting back to Insteon, and I believe also it can work with Z-Wave, is a company called Universal Devices. They have a product that's designated ISY994i. It is a very nice little piece of equipment. I have owned it for 16 years plus. It has never given me any problem. It is completely programmable, and there are applications, at least on iOS, I'm sure on Android, that allow you directly to control them. You can set all different parameters, sunset, sunrise, day of the week, month of the year, what have you. It's a programmer's dream. The programming language is very, very simple.
Okay. I have looked at the Universal devices. From what I recall, it's fairly expensive, a few hundred dollars. Although I guess replacing a bunch of Insteon controllers every few years. But from what I recall, they still need the Insteon PLM. They will talk to the PLM and control it, but I wasn't aware that the ISY994 will talk directly to Insteon devices.
Yeah, that's true. It does require a PLM 2413 in order to work. I don't know, for whatever reason, I haven't had as bad luck as you've had. I think in the 16 years I've had this, I've replaced the PLM once.
Okay, yeah, the 2413U, which is the USB. One is also a 2413S, which is serial. That is the device that's constantly failing. Constantly, every 3 years. And do I want to put another $100 into Insteon? And I just may write their tech support folks and see what they will recommend or do for me.
Okay, I mean, you give it a chance, try it. The ISY994i uses a 2413S, so it uses the serial interface version. But I don't know, bad batches. The problem with a lot of these companies start to go cheap some point, and X10, I noticed that at one point they were trying to cut the prices on everything, and so they were cutting the quality on everything. Maybe it's just that they're not quite up to snuff anymore. Yeah, it would be a shame. I would hate to have to reconfigure my house. I have way too many Insteon switches in my walls to start swapping them out. That could become a major expense. I mean, if you're starting from scratch, then yeah, go with something state of the art that someone just figured out a week and a half ago, and the company behind it is worth billions. But I was thinking of this as a stopgap to save you the trouble of having to switch to a Zigbee or a Z-Wave technology.
I guess the problem is the ISY994 talks to the same piece of hardware that's failing. And by the way, the 2413 will also talk X10.
Yes, to a degree, yeah, it does that. Matter of fact, I have a whole bunch of strange things wired. I still use X10 as a remote key fob. If you recall your X10, they have a nice little model that is 16 buttons and a bright and dim button. I use it with my Insteon and my ISY994i. It does context switching, so it remembers things that I've turned on and or turned off and changes what the controls do because of the programming. So it's kind of nifty.
Okay. I also have a few X10 devices. I have their motion sensors, and basically when I walk into my bathroom or I walk into my closet, the light goes on. And then when I leave and there's no more motion, the light goes off. So those work fine, but I just have them very local. They're down in my den, and there's a controller down in the den, which, you know, they talk to the light switches. Okay, I'm going to... I think my best bet is to investigate Home Control Assistant and harass the folks at Insteon saying, hey, your device fails like clockwork every 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that kind of struck me as a quality issue, I don't know if you have a lot of Insteon filters, but they sell these things that if you have noisy devices, you plug it into the same outlet and it kind of damps the noise that the devices generate. And those things used to weigh a ton. They had a big heavy core transformer as part of their design. And at one point or another, all of a sudden, they redesigned it to something that weighed about one-tenth of the weight. So I was always a little suspicious about that.
Boy, what you're describing sounds like they are almost switched from maybe a linear to a switching power supply, although the switching power supply would probably create more noise than a linear one.
No, in this case, it's not a power supply. It's just a power filter. And in the original design, they must have had a massive inductor as part of the filtration circuit that they cheaped out on, I guess. I never really cracked the case to take a look inside, though. It just the difference in heft was dramatic.
Okay, well, you guys have given me some ideas on stuff to look at. Hopefully, I don't have to replace the switches, which have been working fine through my three failed PLMs. Okay, I don't mean to hog the net with my two issues. AC2GS, WB2KWC.
AC2GS. Well, you're welcome, Ken. Please let us know how it worked out. If there's a secret password to get an industrial strength 2413, I'd love to know it because I may need one someday. I live in abject fear that I'm going to have to swap this whole thing out. I've invested way too much time, effort, and programming into this Michigas, but technology moves on. So for all I know, next Wednesday, Insteon could get bought by Amazon and say bye-bye to all my equipment.
Yeah, or you're going to find Insteon built into your Amazon Alexa.
Well, I wouldn't mind that, although as a rule, I try not to buy things that talk to me. Every so often, for some strange reason, my iPhone will respond to me not calling any key word. It misunderstands and wakes up and just kind of rambles in the background as I'm talking on the phone. So I try to stay away from devices that talk to me. I like my devices mute.
Okay, well, I think devices that talk to you have a certain, purpose. I find that my Amazon Alexa in the kitchen is wonderful for setting timers, because when you're working on stuff in the kitchen, your hands are full of stuff, and rather than having to wash them, you can just talk to the device.
Yeah, I guess so. And theoretically, I guess I could take my phone out and talk to Siri. But, you know, there are skills I never built up that I, you know, if I need a timer, I just go into my phone and set the timer. And I realize that, you know, I might have dirty hands, so I clean the screen. But, you know, whatever works for people. Obviously, it's a very attractive feature. A lot of people love it. A lot of people use it. For whatever reason, it's not that I'm afraid of technology. It's, you know, because I still remember I had a voice box for my Atari 800 where I programmed it to respond to different I had a very, very simplified draw screen, and I used it as a template for a keypad. And depending upon what I pressed, it would respond in different ways, and one of the responses was to say words. So, you know, technologically, I have no problem with synthesizers. I don't know. It just never appealed to me, and I've had too many false negatives from these devices. They don't seem to understand that I don't really want to tell them something.
Okay. I have you for a few projects. There is a speech synthesizer built into Windows 10, and I have used it for some projects, including an amusing one where I have canned messages when I get telemarketers calling me.
Ah, that's cute. I have, in addition to Microsoft's the speech synthesizer, I have something called Text Aloud, and I have it packed with a whole bunch of different voices, male, female. There are children. There are people with accents. It's loads of fun to play with. I use Microsoft synthetic synthesized words to read articles in Word, just to check whether they make sense by just listening to them. So I'm a big fan of both voice synthesizers and voice recognition software. I've owned more than a few versions of, I'm blocking on the name of them, a very famous voice detection and voice to text program that unfortunately was bought up by another company for intellectual property. So that software is probably going to disappear as well.
You're talking about Dragon?
Yes, indeed, Dragon. I've had at least three or four iterations of that. It's an interesting piece of software. I find, unfortunately, it doesn't have a 99% accuracy rate. You have to kind of think what you say while you're saying it. If you start to just kind of speed up or mumble, obviously, the software just kind of gives up on you. But interesting technology. It's a shame that it's probably going to disappear soon, because I think Nuance was the company that owned it, and they were bought by someone else.
You got to remember, Roy, that the voice recognition industry is exploding. And it's exploding mostly because of customer service and artificial intelligence, along with voice recognition is a big game being played now because it's saving corporations billions on customer service. So Dragon, I don't know if they've improved it, but it's sure not the Dragon of 5-10 years ago, or the industry, I should say. Voice recognition is not the Dragon of 5-10 years ago.
No, I think Dragon was slowly becoming a niche product. They had decided that the most that they could make would be to sell versions sort of designed to meet doctors, doctors like me, for taking dictation and such. So there was a product specifically with a medical vocabulary programmed into it. So I think that was going off in a strange little direction. These other products are more server-based, so they're not really designed to be used by individuals. And, yeah, I loathe and despise when I get talked to by a computer algorithm. And my exercise sometimes is to try and figure out what is the keyword that will trip me out of the algorithm into an actual human being. Unfortunately, the methods that I found most effective would probably have my license removed from me if I mentioned them on the air. But nevertheless, I have found some services that if you say just the right wrong word, they'll kick you to an actual human being, which is how I prefer to work.
Just 3 days into the Echo ecosystem, but I'm pretty sure that I glanced in the instructions somewhere that there's an easy way, there's just a switch to turn off any voice response coming from the little round Echo Dot. I'm pretty sure you can do that. I mean, it seems easy to do it electronically. So you could have nobody speaking back to you. You could just be speaking to it. I'll take a look at it and I'll let you know.
Okay. There are some things that I look at that and I say, oh, I want one of them. What the hell? I want two of them. When I see a lot, and, the last 10 years, you've been flooded with these damn things that talk to you and listen to you and do all kinds of things. For whatever reason, doesn't float my boat in the slightest. I look at it and I turn the page and read about something completely different. But I understand that we all don't like the same things. It's probably a very wise thing on their part to have an off switch someplace. There's no replacement for an off switch. It's always good to have one. So for people who like to have conversations with inanimate, non-living objects, and can't afford Sony's robot dog, then yeah, okay. Whatever floats your boat. I don't know. I'm so used to manually controlling things, and I try to make them as easy and simple, like my X10 key fob controller, that I find that I have little need to converse with silicon-based life forms. Anyway, it was fun. Thank you, Ken, for the subject. I think Zigbee and Z-Wave and Insteon and all the little permutations, there's a whole bunch of random control devices, chips being manufactured in China, and the prices have plummeted. Rich W2BZ recently got a multicolored controllable LED bulb set, and those things have gone down in price a great deal, thankfully. So it's a fascinating subject. It's one that I've been interested in. I think I bought my first X10 controller from Radio Shack back in the 70s. So, unfortunately, a home control is one of those things that everyone promotes and says that, in 5 years or 10 years, 99% of homes are going to be controlled this way. I don't think so. I think it wouldn't be a bad thing if it was, but I just think that there's too many people out there who don't really think that it's worth their trouble, and so they don't get involved in it. Because, you know, there are some companies that handle it for you at an incredible high expense, and there's a lot of do-it-yourself, and so most people are going to cobble together little bits and pieces of home automation, but, you know, the whole picture, I think, is not going to be the majority. But that's my guesstimate. So once again, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. My name is Roy, and this is the Limark Technical Net. We're here starting at 8 o'clock to discuss all that is technical. So if anyone out there has any other technical questions or comments or subjects, please hit that push to talk. Give me your first name and your call sign.
That's Wesley.
Yes, Wesley.
I have some a subject that many people were asking me for. Especially in the city, you have cars and you have other cars passing by, and you have a narrow road, and then you have two-way traffic on it. It happens that often those cars are scratched, and then you don't know who did it. It used to be a long time ago that you had analog cameras and you could install camera system that you could see license plates, but with the new digital technology now, when the night comes, you see just white light instead of the license plates. So then when it comes to the insurance claim, you don't know who did it. And sometimes there are trucks belonging to one company. You can read probably from the camera what is the company name. But many of those trucks could be like U-Haul, could be rented cars. And then you will say, so yes, that was our car, but it was a customer, and you don't have a license plate, so they denied your claim. So there is interesting technology that used to be only reserved for police department, and it is not only about that. It is about people falling on the sidewalk, for the reason or not, or just happened, for the slippery, and then suing each other. Or it happened, somebody threw the garbage or put something flammable into the garbage, and there is another claim. And here are coming two devices that are very much helpful. One is that is a facial recognition camera. It's not expensive right now, absolutely inexpensive right now. And the other one is license plate recognition. And those cameras are really inexpensive right now. And I was testing one of the systems and I was amazed. For a few hundred dollars, I could have 97% of the license plate sketch, and I could recognize faces of the people. But even though there was a stranger, but the stranger passed half a year ago, let's say, in some locations, right, and wasn't registered as a face, just a stranger, when you just punch that person into the database, it can recall everything that happened half a year ago, or whatever your hard drive is able to get back. So I believe if I mention such technology, it would be very helpful to the audience, because right now, at least knowing that there is such a device available for everybody, for general public, they could use it if they need it. And also, there is no longer analog camera or coaxial cable. Everything is in Cat 5 or Cat 6. And there is no more DVR. There is or video recorder. There is NVR, network video recorder. So that's my 5 points. If there are any questions, I'm willing to answer. And to you.
Okay, Wesley, I have one little question. It was my understanding that legitimate non-obscured license plates are readable by digital cameras. It is just those charming people who place reflectors or infrared emitters around them that screw up the detection of the digital camera. So are you saying that these are somehow able to still record the license plate, or that my understanding that license plates generally are detectable with regular digital cameras unless you do something naughty to obscure them?
Yeah, actually, we're coming to the point of application that used as a license plate recognition, DLPR, the optical character recognition, which would be OCR, which is the algorithm that is behind that. So that was where the monochrome imaging is commonly used, and the amount of light that camera can collect may be limited due to short exposure time, or that you have reflective paint on it or any kind of tricks on it. They introduce in the police department, for the police department use, but it got into commercial market, and now into the general public market now, a special limiter which is actually able to flip. Whatever is too white, it flips to too dark. And now it takes both of them and compare them together in internal comparator, and whatever is not white and whatever is not too black, it is considered to be a print, and that print is the OCR that is giving you all of the information. But it's not only that. The technology, if you go a little bit more expensive, can read what is read it on the car, or whatever the characteristic any characters are on the car, not only the license plate. But if you consider, let me jump. But if you consider that you are only interested with the license plate recognition, it's going to give you two pictures. One is the picture that would be black and white from the same camera. You don't have to need any longer. You don't need to have any longer two cameras. One is the license plate, which would be usually black and white, and the other would be a little bit larger, the overall picture of the vehicle. And even in the dark, you could see the color.
Okay, so principally these are for people who are screwing around with their license plate, because I'm sure I've read in the past that DMV laws kind of say it's a no-no to have either reflective or active IR emitters near your license plate, because the principal reason for having them is to obscure detection. So it's not legal to begin with. So for the most part, that these are pieces of advanced technology to get around people trying to get around the laws. I assume that these are not generally available to the consumer public. It sounds sort of like that these have a professional kind of bend. You mentioned police departments and such. So can Joe Schmo order one of these things through Amazon, or is there a place you knock three times and say the magic word, or do you have to kind of, you know, there are some things out there that you can't get without some proof that you're a law enforcement officer?
Yeah, there are two factors that are important here to be mentioned. One of them is legality of having those devices and ability to purchase them, and the other one is the accuracy of or legitimacy of the reading. Let me jump. So I'm going to go to the first one. 90% or even more than 90% of all of those systems are no more on coaxial cable. They are on Cat 5 or Cat 6, so they are network devices. And you can link so many of them. So let's say you have a vacation house in Florida, and you have another vacation house in Europe, and then you have another house of yours, which is in Long Island. And you can link three of them together, and you can see from either one or all of them on a bigger screen, all of the cameras, and each one could be license plate recognition, or each one could be face recognition. But apart from that, it could also recognize person running, person falling, and person walking. And it could, in some instances, also detect how many people were crossing invisible virtual line, and was it a woman, or was it a female, or was it a male? Let me drop. Now, those devices are mostly not available on any large resellers like Amazon. The reason that professionals who are handling the license of New York State or any other state installing those devices is that there are specialized stores that sell only to them. But you can, by just knowing what is the model number, what is the manufacturer of such device, you can try to get them from eBay or from Amazon, because you're definitely going to find them. There are some people who are selling the same cameras for a few bucks more, only that you need to know how much you're going to be paying for. So usually, a good quality camera with motorized lens, which would be the difference between the camera with motorized lens and the regular lens is that if you buy any camera, after a few months, it's not getting sharp. Then you have to go with the screwdriver and you have to have another person looking at the screen, and you eventually need to adjust to the sharpness. If you have a motorized lens, you can, being in Florida, adjust the camera that is in France, in Paris, if it's your camera, if you have an access to it. Now, if you have a camera that is a motorized lens, usually a good quality 4K, you can get for approximately $250. And 2K, which is sufficiently enough, you can get for $140, $150. But if you don't know what you're buying and you don't know the manufacturer, then definitely you're going to be fooled out by some others. Now, a face recognition camera is somewhere in between $250 also, and license plate recognition about $500 or less. Now, unfortunately, I cannot mention the brands, because this is not an advertising forum, and we're not talking about particular manufacturer. We're trying to help others to better understand what we're talking about. Now, as far as the license plate, it's easy to install approximately 30 degrees on the side of the road, on your wall, on your building, 30 degrees from the street. You can get exactly the license plate up to 150 to 200 feet, depends from the lens that you have. And the lens is usually 8 to 22 millimeters. And then we're talking about the sensitivity. Sensitivity is measured in lux. It's a measure of illuminance. And one lux is equal to one lumen per square meter. The lux value on the camera represents the minimum illumination the camera requires to capture an acceptable image. And usually there is no professional needed. You just adjust your camera, because it's motorized. So you adjust the lens to approximate where you're going to have a car passing. And then if somebody hits your vehicle or neighbor vehicle, especially narrow streets of New York, you're going to definitely get the license plate. Some people decide that they're going to go with two ways, so one camera is 180 degrees towards the other, and then you're covering the whole road, but it's not needed. Also, talking about people falling down, it used to be in the early 2000s that people were very much having a problem owning, they were owners of the house because the other people were falling down and breaking something, or not breaking, but complaining. And they're going to the doctors, and then, of course, the insurance and the problems. And now you have ability to see if the person was falling or not falling, if the person was running or not running. And based on that, you can choose the event, and you can actually search for the people who are running. For, let's say, past 1 year or past half of a year, and usually if you have a 12 terabyte hard drive, you can have more than 1 year from 8 cameras of recording and to exist.
Okay, that's very interesting. The problems in the past, I think London is the city with the most CCTVs. The police department kind of put them up every block. The problem that they had was the personnel to review them. Thus, the big question about whether artificial intelligence is the solution. Thus, the response from other people saying, get artificial intelligence out of the police force and don't bug us. So I think a lot of these things are also internet-based. I know network-attached storage device that I have has an option for security that has a lot of those features. I haven't looked at it in the last few years, but you could set up perimeters, you could set up walking and running and all kinds of things. I think at that point, at least, it did not have face or license recognition as part of its feature set. But, you know, this is what scares some people. They remember Brave New World and such, and some guys look at it as a useful item. Others look at it as yet another vestige of people's privacy being abridged. So it's a fascinating subject. I don't know if the average person wants to shell out $500 for a camera. I mean, I have cameras around my house, but I like gadgets. A lot of people don't really care for gadgets, and they're not foolproof. They're not they're not made by Apple. So you actually need to know a little bit about the subject to really get the most benefit for them.
Dr. Roy, let me play devil's advocate. If you don't use the router and you don't use the switch, you have a 16 cameras NVR. You just plug the camera and it works. All you need. So you get your RT45 terminated piece of wire, which would be usually category Cat 5 or Cat 6. You just connect camera from one side, plug it into NVR, and it works. All you need. And then, it's good if somebody buy the crimper and he's able to crimp the RJ45. This way, they would be able to have a proper length, the expected length of the wire. But if not, use the ready-to-use one. Okay, so that's one of the of answer of the question. No, there is no need for professional any longer to install IP system if you don't use the switch or router. Okay. So, but if you use a switch or router that this camera no longer will be a program at the starting number 10.1.1.2 whatever. It would start for 192.168.1 dot whatever the number. So now we're talking about the network. But the good thing is that you can have a 10 properties in your bedroom. That means whatever the properties you have, you can have it in your bedroom. And you can switch one from one to the other or see them all of them on a large screen. So that's the good thing about the IP system. Now, the only thing that is not allowed in New York State is... Plenty of those cameras, they have a voice recording. The voice recording is illegal in New York State, I believe. And if somebody wants to use a sound recording, they had to place a sticker on the door, on the exposed places, saying the voice on this property is recorded. And then it becomes legal. But I don't recommend to do it. Now, as far as the face recognition is legal and you can use it. The license place recognition is legal and you can use it. And if you have a $6,000 damage on your car because somebody ripped your mirror and scratched your side of your vehicle, and you don't know what is the license plate, you need to remember that the insurance company is not in a business to give the money away. They're in a business to collect money and to extract it.
Okay, I understand all that, Wesley. A lot of things have kind of been designed as plug and play. You know, defaults to a DHC, it grabs an IP address and it logs into the network. You know, it's not that difficult to configure that. User interfaces, though, kind of make or break stuff. If you have, 10 different cameras all over the place, it's probably not difficult to configure them if you know what you're doing. But if you haven't used any of this before and you're not very confident with computers in general, the idea of selecting cameras, placing them on grid, setting different alarm protocols and such, can be problematic for some people. Think of all those people out there in the olden days who had VCRs that flashed 12 all the time because they couldn't quite figure out how to set the clocks.
Yeah, that changed from that time. It's quite different right now. For dealers, not for the customers. For dealers, $199 NVR, 8 channels, can do everything. Facial recognition, license plate recognition, people walking, line crossing, motion detection, or selected motion detection, protecting items. That means you have a room and you have items, and you have items in different areas. You can protect those items. Can everybody can pass, but if they touch the item or the item is no longer there, then it is an alarm. Let me drop. So, I know very much one of the systems that does all of it. It's a restaurant and a huge two-story restaurant, and people are walking, so the crew knows how many people walk in and how many people walk out. So this way, when the manager is trying to find out how much of sale it was or how many customers they had per day, let's say 2,000 or 1,500, they are able to know it. But also the cameras on the face on the cash register could see what is the face of the person who failed to pay or whatever. So whatever the reason is there, and if there are expensive items on the walls, if somebody touched some of those arts, and that art is no longer there, it's immediate alarm that art is not there. And everything is done on virtual world, because there is a square that is assigned to each one of the items, and if that square is not responding to the same color, let's say, or the shape of an item, then there is an alarm. So it's no longer, everything is collapsing with price. It's no longer expensive, and it's no longer a problem. And to exit.
Well, you know, it's a given in our age, thankfully, that the price of high-end products and technology especially plummets, because the silicon gets cheaper, it gets more powerful, the algorithms get a lot more powerful. I mean, I don't have those separate security devices. I have something that's kind of somewhat actually out of date called iSpy that can be hooked up to my webcams and my IP cams and give perimeters and a whole bunch of things. They have a new piece of software, I think, called Agent DVR that has more power to it. So it's going to get cheaper. It's going to get easier. I think, though, that, again, I concern myself that the user interface somewhat limits some people, because not everyone feels comfortable with computer software, and it takes a very, very sophisticated programmer to program things that are easy. I think that's what gives Apple its big legs up, that it's able to make it relatively simple to do things, whereas Android still leaves too many controls accessible under the hood. So, but you know, some engineer types love the extra control. Others prefer Apple's hidden away features. So I agree with you that it's a fascinating technology. It's going to get cheaper and smaller and faster and easier. That the privacy, unfortunately, is a mirage. We don't have too much privacy. I guess if you build your own panic room with a Faraday cage in it, maybe you have some privacy, but probably not. There's probably something that'll go through it. So, you know, what can I tell you? But interesting subject in general. These bits of software and hardware are definitely going to get more powerful, and you'll be able to record just about everything that happens in a given environment. You know, again, for people in the old days who valued their privacy, that's a thing of the past.
WB2KWC.
Yes, Ken.
Okay, I don't think that facial recognition is a foolproof panacea for recognizing everyone. From what I recall, they are fairly inaccurate. People with darker skin and female forms. This is probably not due to a lack of ability of the technology, but rather simply because they have not added a lot of darker skins or females to the sample that they're analyzing to train these devices. However, that has caused some problems, so now we're seeing a lot of blowback from people like the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Amnesty International, who oppose the use of facial recognition, or certainly by police, and apparently there is a certain amount of credence to this, because the folks at Microsoft, the folks at Amazon, and the folks at IBM have said they will not sell facial recognition hardware or software to law enforcement. AC2GS, WB2KWC.
5 cents. Yeah, Wes, one sec, and then I'll turn it over for your comment. I think what you're telling the net is quite true. The face recognition software, a lot of it is based on machine learning. Machine learning requires obtaining samples. The percentage of samples that were white guys apparently was overwhelmingly higher than women and people of different complexion. It's a problematic technology. I think ultimately it will improve over time. People have heard that complaint, and I would assume we'll sample a broader spectrum of the human race. I think the problem with the police is more of a public relations and political one, and I certainly understand it. There's a lot of distrust of authority figures, and letting them flash a computer program and figure out who you are, where you are, and everything about you in seconds is scary as heck. So I'm not quite sure if the major tech companies are disallowing these sales because of their lack of expectations in the product. I think it's more of a public relations one, and we have to decide as a people how much privacy we want to give up, and that's probably going to be a fundamental discussion of the United States citizenry as time goes on, even if it's addressed with other terms. But Wesley, you wanted to say something as well?
You're right. The license, the facial recognition cameras are pretty accurate with people of lighter color, and they have more problems with darker color. But that also depends from the camera that is being used, and you have a special lens with a special sensitivity, and the sensitivity is about how low it goes with light. And then if the camera has a fast lenses or fast processing, even the lenses are not fast lenses, then you are able to, the camera is able quickly, before the next frame is being analyzed, able to quickly memorize the picture and send it to the block that is analyzing it. It's the new technology. It's just 1 year old, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as far as, so that means the picture is memorized. Now it's sent it. The system is is recording all of that is happening after that, but that picture is being analyzed. It takes sometimes up to 30 seconds before that picture is processed, but when the picture is processed, it really goes through the different microprocessors, so it's not really taking a power of main NVR, and that's why if the person is with the black, with the dark color, it is sent to the module in the software that is operating exactly with that. So then the accuracy is approximately about 93%. But with the 2 years old models, the accuracy for the black Americans was about 62%. Now, as far as the using the license, the facial recognition, you're right. There are plenty of organizations that are against that, but then this is not restricted for the use of regular people. So if the regular citizen feels that he wants to feel safe in his ranch or his house or his garden or anywhere else, he has a right to use the technology that's available on the market. Now, he is not spying on anybody. It is on his own property. He's the owner of that property, and he has a right to use it. Then that's based on the licensing division of New York State that is completely 100% allowed. And to exit.
AC2GS. I agree again with you, Wesley, although, you know, the lure is a curious little thing. Visually, you are free to capture anything visual on your property. As you yourself mentioned, audio, because of a law, you can't capture without the permission of one of the people involved. Different states have different rules. In New York is a one-person rule where if you're having a conversation